At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yes. Hello. Hello. Good day. Good time. Good life to all of you out there, man. It's another day. It's another week. And it's time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. It is officially summertime everywhere. It feels like it. It looks like it. You know, Monet dropped another video. You know what I'm saying? Lots of chocolate on deck, all sizes and shades.
Ain't rocking doodle no more.
That's right. She's going to get her doodle rocked. And I get it. All right. But we digress as we deep dive into all things necessarily wrestling. Pause if applicable. You know, and hey, man, you know, it's time for the first Black Champ podcast, and tis I, the pick of this wrestling podcast-ish, Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FBC_POD. Follow us on Instagram and Threads.
Hey, there we go. We got Threads on y'all.
Threads. A lot of social media and shit.
Yeah, man.
But that's FBC.POD. I'm tired.
Okay. Hey, look. I'm right with you. I don't know if I'm going to do all these new platforms. I ain't going to lie to y'all. Because until somebody changes the guard and says that, hey, careers can be made outside of Instagram and YouTube. That's the only place I feel I need to be personally, unless it's first Black Champ.
So I said this on some dude. I'll say this here. Mm. Instagram Threads is like corporate Twitter.
Ah, boo.
You know, because a lot of people that you ended up on Instagram with, because Instagram was less threatening at the time, was people you probably work with.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't put everybody on there, you put a couple of people, it was like, I don't even matter. Mm-hmm. But Twitter, on the other hand, we got into Twitter when it was the Wild Wild West.
For sure.
That 2009 to 13 Twitter is unmatched.
Yes, that just when you thought it would get no wilder than the peak of Black Planet and 04 to 05 MySpace, oh, here came Twitter.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different on Threads because now we're mature, we're a little older, but Twitter still has quality entertainment. Depending on what time you log on.
Oh, yeah. Or who you follow, just to be honest.
Yeah. You know, or, you know, for your For You section.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So, HBO, Threads is HBO before, you know, late night.
Okay.
Twitter is Cinemax after 10 p.m.
Yeah, Cinemax will always get my attention.
Yeah, sorry. You know, you got that, you know, that little title card that came through Cinemax at night, and then you know it's going down.
Yes.
It's like quality entertainment's coming. So,
yeah, man.
I'ma always stay with Twitter because of quality entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. Mad threads. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, Threads ain't, I don't think Threads is gonna give us the quality entertainment that we get on Twitter. So you know. If Elon Musk was smart.
That's Elon.
Right, Elon. I have to say dude name. Elon.
Yeah, yeah, it's Elon. Hey, I always think of Elon Gonzalez when you say it though.
I know. Hey, look, man. I just love butchering buddy names.
Yeah, hey.
Elon.
You know, I get it. Hey, he butchering Twitter. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, you know.
But that's the only part he can't butcher. Look, Elon, don't touch that. Don't try to institute no nothing.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, Twitter is definitely Emmanuel B.2. What up?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Twitter being Emmanuel is crazy. Yeah, Twitter would be Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Vanessa Del Rio.
Yeah, man.
It'd be Angela White.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it'd be Sarah J on occasion.
Yeah, for sure. Amateur. Literally too.
Amateur.
It'd be, you know what I'm saying? It'd be Booty Talk 24.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It'd be a what was the series that didn't take off? The Let Off In Me series. It'd be that.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, oh, y'all ain't never heard of this? So, yo, hey, listen. You know, a few years ago, right? I'm looking for new sections. I'm looking for new sections, right? And I ain't gonna front. First Black Champ exclusive, all right? You heard it here first. So at first, I was looking for little people, like, you know, like the little girls. I said, because I seen this, this like 4 foot little person, and she was banging. I was like, oh, yo, I kind of want to see her get into something else. So I just started Googling little people, and I seen her on Twitter, and that's where maybe go to X videos and look for it. And then so that, and you know, once you, you're looking for little people, then you see the other subcategories or type in cream pie. And then I looked at this section. It was a dude that had a channel. Well, I don't know. You know, it'd be faceless. It was called Let Off In Me. And it was nothing but Ebony Cream Pie videos. So you had just mad dudes like letting off. You know what I'm saying? And the chicks, they was banging. Hey. It was some, and I think of those was real too. The way Cam talking needs to be an FBC trial. This is Exhibit 1. Hey, yo, listen, the Let Off In Me series, they didn't get real far, but it's some out there. I don't even know if, it was nobody famous, so don't look for Warrington or Wes or Marcus. Don't look for none of them. It was just the other black dudes, not even the black dudes on black. It wasn't even them. It was just some other dudes. And the joints was called Let Off In Me. Pinky might have been in one, like this generation Pinky, though, not OG Pinky. Not you know. Well, you know. Hey, listen, man, I'm going to find them information. Just talk to me. Just talk to me, you know. I'm here. I'm here. I'm outside. I do things. Yeah. I talk about
it. Right. Hey.
You dig? I live it. Hey. I am proof. I'm a walking proof of concept. Just talk to me. You dig? Hey.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I appreciate y'all.
We are 7 minutes in.
Yeah, man. I appreciate y'all.
To the podcast. So for those who get to this point, you are a true P1.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We appreciate that.
I didn't even get a chance to say, go get the merch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, go get the merch, Kemp. Kemp got the hoodie on.
Oh, shoot.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, hey, Brando, you're right, because I was at the cruise and watching and listening Ron Isley perform. And when I heard him say, I like the way you receive me, I looked at the crowd and that's when I said, yo, they fucking tonight. That's, yeah,
for sure.
Sex will be had.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you can't sing like, and I'm glad Brando said that, just to take a little bit of time before we talk about wrestling. Because it ain't really a lot to talk about. Yeah. It's just like one thing.
Yeah.
But is there a difference between my coochie pink, my booty hole brown, and I like the way you receive me?
Yes, it is. And the only and the difference is color commentary. You know what I mean? Whereas Ronald took more of the Robert Frost approach, you know. the young lady took the Todd Shaw approach. You did? Right. Like, it's just about color. You know what I mean?
I was thinking, like, just when Brando said that, I was thinking, is Ron Isley's line. Is Ron Isley's line, "I like the way you receive me," this generation's version of Pound Town? Like, a line in Pound Town.
Yeah. No. I'm going to give that to Vito's song, Pull Out. Vito's song, Pull Out, is definitely "I like the way you receive me." Because he's literally, like, the entire song by Vito. Shout out to Vito, by the way. One of my favorite R&B artists of this era. He's basically saying that how he's about to come over, he about to go in, and he's not going to pull out. You know what I'm saying? He's like, "I don't want to, and you're going to make me do something. Like, you're going to moan, you're going to do something, and I won't be able to. So I'm ready to get the text that's saying you're late, because, damn, I don't want to pull out." So you know what I'm saying? So like, look, I'm into the R&B guys that really like women and that have experiences with them. So that's why I'm heavy on the Vito and the playlist, heavy on the Kevin Ross, Imani. Like, those are the guys doing the "I like the way you receive me."
Okay.
They're a little more graphic. Now, granted, they're not as graphic as my coochie pink, my booty hole brown. But, you know, that's a very Sesame Street way of putting you in the right direction. That's like, you know, air traffic control almost. You know what I mean? You know, I still like.
Wait a minute.
Wait. Hey, I mean, that's how I'm perceiving the message. It's like, oh, okay, brown. Yo, okay, boom, I got it. You know what I mean?
Yo, wait a minute.
Hey.
Wait a minute.
You know?
Yo, wait a minute.
It's important. I like a little poetry in my raunch, in my erotica. I like it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wait a minute. Yo, I've never heard Pound Town described the way you just described. Man said color code, man. It's like Sesame Street. Like, look.
Yeah.
Pussy's pink. Booty hole brown.
Yeah.
Know the difference.
You know what I'm saying?
Then heck come Oscar come out the garbage.
Like, there's something pink and brown in here. Like, oh, word. Okay.
Hey, all right, look. Hey, let's start with this wrestling shit before we go really off the rails.
Yeah, man. We can do any kind of show y'all want, but we choosing to do wrestling.
Let me let you know, that right there is the best description of Pound Town I've ever heard. I've heard many descriptions, but Sesame Street, you basically said that Pound Town is Sesame Street for sex.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know what? You're right. And two, my eyes, as you see, my eyes are red because I've cried on this podcast because of many things. But the Pound Town reference being Sesame Street for sex is A1. It has made this episode of the podcast the greatest episode of First Black Champ that we've ever had. And we ain't even 15 minutes into it. And we ain't even talked about wrestling. Okay. We've not said not one thing about wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. So y'all make sure y'all subscribe to the Barbershop Digital.
For sure.
And listen to First Black Champ.
Yeah, man.
And you're going to get the greatest references of things outside of wrestling that you will ever hear.
Yeah, man.
Sex, Pound Town is Sesame Street for sex.
Yeah.
y'all heard it from Kent from the port first.
Amen.
If anybody, if you even hear anybody mention Pound Town and Sesame Street in the same sentence, they got it from this pod.
Believe it.
And we'll fight them.
For sure. For sure. Hey, yo, man. Hey, listen, man. Who better than the pick? You know what I'm saying?
Nobody. You won.
Man.
You won. Hey. Matter of fact, we can end this shit.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, just in case y'all think I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I'm not just wearing the belt. I'm defending the title today, baby. Like, this is what we do. This is the First Black Champ Podcast.
And what are your guarantees? Silence. I'm 15 minutes in. What's your guarantees? All right, look, first of all, I'm laughing right now also because I have Cyber Slam from ECW going on at the same time with the pod. And Saturn and the other nigga just, like, beat the shit out of Francine. Like, and now Tuco Scorpio and Sabu is about to wrestle for the World TV Championship. I didn't realize that Tuco Scorpio is a four-time, or at least at this moment, a four-time ECW television champion. Mm. So it's fair to say that even though Taz is not black, and this is actually what I wanted to start off the pod with.
Okay.
Because I knew Taz wasn't black.
Right, right, for sure.
But I didn't know it when I was watching ECW.
Oh, okay. But I get it, though. Because he's from Brooklyn. He's like, he's brown.
He's brown.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
He's brown. He's from Brooklyn. You know, he didn't necessarily talk white, like white wrestlers and stuff like that. So, yeah, for about 2 years, I thought Taz was black or at least like of black descent.
Yeah, like Dominican or something like that.
Or something like that. But... You know, with that being said, you know, some people would say that Taz is the greatest black wrestler in Eastern because they didn't know. You probably listen to this podcast right now and be like, wait a minute, so what is he?
Right.
He's Italian.
Yeah.
I say that to say this. Did you know that the person who started the faction Full-Blooded Italians was black?
Wait, no. Wait. So the FBI. The FBI yes. Max was talking about somebody black.
Black history fact, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm watching Cyber Slam, and it's a wrestler named JT Smith, and he's waving an Italian flag.
Okay.
So something tells me, go to Wikipedia.
Right.
So... John T. Smith started his career in the Philadelphia-based Tri-State Wrestling Alliance, where he trained alongside Sandman.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And that at the school that that's the school that assisted Terry Funk in the planning of the fight choreography of the alleyway scene at the end of Rocky V. Mm. So there's something I did not know.
Okay.
Terry Funk choreographed the end of Rocky V, the fight scene.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Learn something new every day.
Real hardcore legend.
Right. All right, so let me fast forward it to ECW.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he goes to ECW, fan favorite. He wrestled at the first event, all that stuff. Now, let's go a little bit later. All right, and... What happened is he injured himself years later in 1995 at WrestlePalooza, where he faced Hack Myers in a match.
Mm.
Now, the reason why this match is so special is because, and you might have seen this match or not the match, but a clip.
Okay.
Because the reason why he became popular because he fucked up.
Mm.
He attempted a suicide dive outside, but he didn't get enough elevation. His knee pads caught into the ropes, and he landed head first on the arena floor.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
He had a big-ass nut on his head.
Yeah. I've seen that clip. I've not seen that match, but yeah.
But he was able to win the match with the help of an Italian wrestler named Val Pacciuco, or Puccio.
Okay.
I'm butchering his name. Paul Heyman was like, hey, let's make this into a storyline.
Mm.
So they said that his concussion gave him mild brain damage, and he started to believe he was Italian. and even started talking with an Italian accent. He befriended Val, turned into a heel. So anytime that he went and messed up a move, the crowd reacted to it because of the shit. So all of this resulted into the formation of the Full-Blooded Italians with the Italian guy. Now, Val left ECW in 1995.
Okay.
He continued on the character. Smith brought in Damian Stone as his cousin and the newest member of the FBI. Who was Damian Stone? Guido.
Yeah. Guido. I was like, now we get the people I remember, Guido.
So the black guy starts the Full-Blooded Italians.
Wow.
But then the actual Italians is like, wait a minute. What the fuck going on?
Yeah, these Moolings here. What are these Moolings doing here?
Like, no, he's not Italian. He said, yes, I am. I'm old world Italian.
Hey. Hey, shout to Vietnam. He may not be wrong.
So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Full-Blooded Italians was started by a black man.
Wow.
Named JT Smith.
That's wild.
That is your black history fact.
You know what I'm saying?
First black champ.
Salute to all the GIs, the Tuskegee Airmen that did definitely landed in Italy. Hey, look, we even seen it in the Red Tails. Dude landed in Italy was like, yeah, oh, I want that. I'm not leaving. Reckless eating commenced.
The Spike Lee, America on St. Anna.
Hey.
Derek Luke ain't want to leave. Him or the big dude.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, they knew what they liked. They got it.
That's a fact.
I had it once. It was great. Yeah.
Hi, you.
That was an interesting. Yeah. We kind of talked about that on the pod once before. I won't bring that story back up. But that young lady was attacked. That being said, that's y'all black history fact.
There we go,
man. Full-Blooded Italians was started by a black man, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, look at the contributions to black wrestling and black wrestlers, man.
You will know. There's no doubt about it.
Hey.
You it's your black history fact. First black cat. All right, man. Speaking of black history fact, man, the wrestlers who got black wives all mad at each other.
Yeah, man.
Because all of them got black wives.
Man. All of them. Shout out to
all
Samoa.
All of them. You know, shouts out to Samoa. Because the Bloodline versus the Usos, we talked about that after Money in the Bank. And they were supposed to have a trial. The tribal chief was supposed to go on trial. And shouts out to the tribal chief for letting it be known he gets it in. Because my man was like, I got five kids.
You know what I'm saying?
Roman Reigns sounded like a black man.
Yeah.
Period. During that exchange, they went from being Samoan to black as hell.
And me personally, they got to do another doc on Rocky Johnson because he started all this. Let's just be clear. And I know we're not supposed to measure blackness and all that because I'm off that too. But obviously, Rikishi, Jimmy, Jay, Solo, and Roman looked at Rocky Johnson way differently than Dwayne did. And we need to start talking about it. We need to start talking about it. All right?
Hey.
This is the first Black Champ podcast. And I want to know what Uncle Rocky, the impression that he had on everybody else's kids, minus his own.
Look, man, when that man was like, I got five kids, like your kids, when that man brought up his though, and don't he got like two sets of twins
mm-hmm.
or some shit?
I think so.
If if Roman Reigns got two sets of twins, man, he deserves the right to be tribal chief.
Yeah, man. Because I think because he got a pair that's like three or four, but I think he got a pair that's like eight. Yeah.
Because of this, I'm just gonna go ahead and go to how many children does Roman Reigns have? Right. So, Roman Reigns does have five. Mm-hmm. He has a set of twins that came. Well, let's go with the first. His daughter Joelle was born in 2008, right before he became a WWE superstar. And then they had twin boys in 2016. Mm-hmm. And then they got another set of twins in 2020.
Yeah.
So he got twin boys, twin girls. Mm-hmm. And fam, the fights that go on in that house. Mm-hmm. Like, there's tag team matches that go on in that house right now. With the oldest playing referee.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Usos versus the Usoettes in Roman Reigns' house every week.
Yeah.
So this bloodline storyline is basically his kids. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, yo, look what I got going on right here. But mm-hmm. when he said that a part of the joint and then just was like, you know, everybody is on my back. Oh, he sounded like a black man. He basically was like, I got my kids, your kids, mm-hmm. your kids, your daddy,
right.
my daddy, your daddy, all these other folks.
Yeah.
Rock ain't doing shit.
Yeah.
This is all me. He the one who got all of the movies and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. but he give money to Tamina and Nia Jax and his mama. He don't do nothing over here.
Dang.
That's
how I read the promo.
That's how I read the promo. You don't do nothing over here. That being said, I'm the tribal chief. And this is how y'all repay me? Man, I felt them. Yep. As a father of three, and when something go wrong, they call me. I felt Roman Reigns. You the tribal chief, man. I'm riding with Roman now. Because he right. You can't handle the responsibilities that I have. Because you part of it.
Mm.
You can't handle my responsibilities. But I can handle yours. You know you want this shit? You want it? Huh? Nah, fuck this, man. Like, that's... Am I reading too much of this promo?
No. Hey, listen. The thing that I enjoy most about the Bloodline story, you know what I'm saying, the Bloodline series, and all the Tribal Chief talk, is that Roman Reigns really do sound like, hey, no, just in case any of y'all confused, don't know fast checks come over here, all right? Like, this is what we do. Like, we literally the ones, but that's taking care of everybody. Now, granted, obviously, there's a little kayfabe involved, because Solo and the Usos are definitely providing in a big way because, hey, they got kids too. But I love how family-centric this is. And I do believe it because, unfortunately, Yokozuna gone. Rosie, I believe, also gone. Rikishi was successful, but definitely not as successful as his sons. And that's no knock because he actually went very far for a Samoan wrestler. So you just take into account all of that. And they're really the family. And if you believe anything from the Young Rock series, and I'm actually sad that it's not on anymore, it's like you see that all of them really do kick it as an entire family.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I love this angle because I really do believe Roman Reigns. Like the promo Friday, I believe that really happens. It's like, hey, I know you holding it down, but because I got the bigger pot, you know I'm holding y'all down and my pops and his brother and grandpa and uncles. And like, hey, look, you know, but you know this is This is the money pot, though. Like, y'all doing good. Y'all doing y'all shit. But you know, because this is how we bust it down. We fam. So, no, I totally agree with you that it felt real. It sounded real. I think it comes from one of the realest places in that promo. And it also explains how it ended. Because he was like, nah, hold up. Like, I take care of y'all because I can. And then I'm not giving it up. Like, everything Roman Reigns said Friday really resonated with me. Even to the fact, he was like, yo, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm breathing, I'm the tribal chief. Like, that's what it is.
It was actually- he also kept that shit extraordinarily real when it came to Jay and Jimmy.
Yeah, man.
Like, hey, you good. All right, look, you gonna be next. Yeah. Might be a long time, but you gonna be next. You know?
Yeah.
You?
He,
why you here?
He keep poking the bear, man.
He keep,
yo, man, hey, was it? The first shall be last, the last shall be first. I hate this story angle for Jimmy, but we can't help life. Like, we watch life, though. We did, unfortunately.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Jimmy was the original one, man.
Jimmy getting sunned.
Yeah.
He gets sunned every week. Like, Solo, look, I know they not going to do the Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Now we got to do it at Survivor Series in Chicago. The Fatal 4-Way has to happen. Because Jay is the eventual successor. Jimmy got to feel some way about always getting sunned by everybody. Because even Jay kind of sunned him. When he's saying, I'm sticking with you. And fam, you got injured. You had your issues. I stepped up.
Yeah.
Fuck is you talking about? Then you got Roman, who basically like, the world is mine. And then you got Solo, who be looking at him sometimes being like, bitch. Like, at Money in the Bank, he looked at him like,
yeah,
you crying? The fuck? And even a couple of times during the segment, Solo was looking at him like, man, you weak as hell, fam. I thought, come on. Like, it felt to me that out of everybody, while Roman Reigns stood tall, Solo looked like the strongest in the beatdown on Friday.
For sure. Absolutely.
So you can't tell me that the Fatal 4-Way is not going to happen, or it shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he looked at Roman too many times. Like, I'm helping you out, fam. You should be helping me out.
Mm-hmm.
You a bitch. He grabbed that land, was like, this should be my shit. But Jimmy is the only one to me that look like a whole hole in this. Which I stand by my guarantee now.
Okay.
Jimmy is going to cost Jay the championship at SummerSlam.
Mm.
This is not going to end with Jay winning the belt, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
But if it was any moment that I was like, you know what? It's time.
Mm-hmm.
It was Friday.
Mm.
When that man said, I want you, they watched Penitentiary too damn much when they was little. I want to ask Rikishi, if it was a movie that he watched with his sons way too much, right, what would it been? He would say, yeah, we was watching Penitentiary. I look, because fam, Jay ass hit him with the, I want you! Or some shit like that. And I was like, I got to have you! I was like,
hey,
man, you sound like a blaxploitation film, my G.
And saying that in Madison Square Garden, I was hoping that Madison Square Garden was savvy enough to be like, hey, yo! Hey, he was like, check out this package. I was like, yo, where's the crowd? Hey, yo!
Hey, man, That's why we need it. It is what it is for wrestling now. We're the closest to it.
Man, absolutely.
We're going to give you the AAOs, fam, because I shows listened to them, and I was like, oh, pause. I got to have you. Pause.
Yo, that was wild.
Yo, but yeah, but that whole promo, that whole segment just reeked of penitentiary when Too Sweet homie died.
Mm.
When Half Dead killed Too Sweet friend. And Too Sweet was like, I got to have him. It's got to happen. Like, if y'all don't believe me, y'all go watch Penitentiary 1. Y'all see the similarities. Now I'm telling y'all, Rikishi showed his kids that movie too many times to the point they tell you, welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if any of the Usos' immediate family spent long amounts of time in jail. But the Usos sound like Jama Fanaka's penitentiary.
Hey, listen, hey man, remember the origin story of Rikishi when he stopped being the head shrinker? He was in the knife fight in San Francisco.
Like, it was San Francisco blood, fam.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He was changing his life.
Popped, I thought he got shot
in wrestling.
He got stabbed or shot.
I thought he got stabbed. I think he was stabbed in the stomach. I think it was. I don't know. But hey,
he came away from that joint like bow, bow, bow.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Bow, bow, bow.
Straight B Street on him.
Man, hold on. Let me go to that storyline again. Because you're right.
Well, yeah, we remember the vignettes. I remember the vignettes with Rikishi. You know what I'm saying? Way before Too Cool.
The man was like, yo, I'm from the streets.
Yeah.
You know, but I turned my life around.
Yeah, you know? Man.
Make a difference. Yep. Let's read this. Let's read this from Wikipedia, fam. After a brief hiatus, Fatu reappeared as a singles wrestler in July 1995, repackaged as a streetwise street thug positive role model, for which he filmed several vignettes in his old San Francisco neighborhood, touching his real life upbringing in the ghetto and preaching messages of staying in school and saying no to drugs, all while he spoke fluent English. Each segment ended with an on-screen phrase, make a difference, making it the unofficial name of the gimmick. Fatu made his ring debut, or his return, on July 29th, pinning Rad Radford. And for those who don't know who Rad Radford is, that's our man's Madonna's boyfriend, Louis Spicoli.
Hey.
On WWF Superstars, and then he enjoyed a run of victories over enhancement talent throughout the year. However, the character did not go over with fans. In 1995, Fatu was regularly booked to lose to such stars as Steve Austin, Vader, Hunter S. Hemsley, two men known as the Samoan Gangster Party, which was his cousins. We all know Samu.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also had Lloyd Anoa, who wrestled under the ring names Tahitian Savage, Fred Williams, and Lloyd Anoa. They begin showing up in the audience during the matches, but no storylines ever developed.
Mm-hmm.
The Make a Difference gimmick was dropped in 1996. And what happened after that? Rikishi became a Sotan.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Damn.
Hey, man. Yeah, hey, man. Nobody trying to hear that freeway Ricky Ross on bail stuff, man. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, look. We get it. That's what Tookie Williams wanted, too. All right, but the legend.
Nah, Cam, I ain't said it yet. Let me just let y'all know this. The reason why the Make a Demis gimmick with Fatu didn't work, because white men ages 18 to 35 don't live that.
Yeah. Nah.
I don't give a fuck.
They call the police.
Right. So wait a minute, you mean tell me you went from a head shrinker to a thug?
Yeah.
A former thug? Trying to change their life around? Oh, I don't give a fuck about that shit. Yeah. You over here trying to dance and do all this shit?
Listen, that right to HR.
Yeah, like, yo, who's this? Hey, there's this nigger over here. You over here talking about make a difference. Well, he's not black. Well, he's close enough.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, straight up, man. Yeah, they know. Hey, you're right. Hey, white males 18 to 34. Hey, look, they called the police. And yeah, they was like, no, we're known for Full House, not this garbage. So
white men ages 18 to 34 want their Samoans with no shoes on. So doing that. They don't want, you know, they don't want positive Samoan role models.
Yeah.
They don't even know who the Booyah tribe is.
Man, listen.
Yo. Man, no, it is. But that would have been wild if the WWE would have had a, they would have went from the Head Shrinkers to the Samoan Gangster Party. Mm. Oh, I would have loved that in 1996, fam.
You know what I'm saying?
And shouts out to Rikishi trying to bring the Booyah tribe to the WWF.
Word, hey.
What do you think about
Max, it? He must have been in the cameo of video. I got to go look into some old Booyah tribe videos. Just see if he was in some of them.
Yeah, we got to look at this, fam, because it wouldn't make sense also why his favorite movie couldn't be Penitentiary and his sons want to take you to the Uso Penitentiary. Damn. Like, you know, because they are descendants of the Booyah tribe. And if y'all don't know about the Booyah tribe, yeah, they rapped. But.
Yeah, there you go.
They were the first. No, they was the second group of Samoans I was ever scared of. Mm-hmm. The first group was the Samoan SWAT team.
Yeah.
Second one was them.
Yeah, they really own it.
I don't want to fuck with them to this day.
Yeah, they really own it.
Yeah, damn. I wondered if the Booyah tribe come to like Rikishi and be like, man, get off that motherfucking Samoan ass biting coconut shit, fam. Like, we real niggas out here. Your motherfucking ass out here still out here with no shoes on. Talking about some
yo, man.
Nigga, we the fuck? Fuck wrong with y'all out here in these shits? Like, nigga, we real out here. Because when you think about it, Rikishi Fatu might have still been Samoan, but he wasn't Head Shrinkers.
Yeah.
They was probably cool. All right, that's a good blend. Who the fuck is this Rocky nigga? Who's this Rocky Maivia ass nigga, fam? Fuck. Hey. Get the fuck up out of there too. Hey, that's your cousin, fam. I ain't my motherfucking cousin. Me acting like I'm the Booyah tribe is wild, fam. Let me stop. Motherfucker see this shit like, oh no, we gotta go to Chicago with this nigga ass, fam. He got a point though, because we was like, man, why the fuck is y'all out here with no shoes on and shit?
Yeah, man.
No, can't even speak no English and shit. Y'all doing this. Y'all ain't even listen to no music. Y'all bopping y'all heads like this and shit.
Oh, man.
But yeah, man. They don't. White dudes was like, nah, we want our Samoans to be scary and bite coconut.
Oh, man.
And let's see, Keith, you're right. Let's see. Okay. Not from LA. You might not know that. Most Samoans are bloods out here. So these niggas rocked off. Hey.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, it's all real life, man. That's why this is the best long form storytelling in wrestling possibly ever. I always say possibly ever because I ain't watched a lot of the 60s stuff. I don't know what happened, but
the nigga's name Spiro was wrestling Dick the Bruiser.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I miss that. You dig? But, you know, I know this bloodline, the layers of the bloodline story, man, this is great long-form storytelling that is definitely blending into real life. I love how the most diverse markets love everybody in the bloodline the most. The best part of the bloodline is when they go to Madison Square Garden and when they go to Miami and when they go to LA. Because they was like, that crowd be rabid.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, man, you can go look at this. Go look at the Usos at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
What they have on.
Yo. They debuted the red we the ones at one of the markets. They debuted the red.
That's why I think Jimmy gonna cost this man. Mm. He gonna cost it because y'all gonna respect me. Mm. Now I'm just like, for somebody, you said this a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
For somebody who had on a shirt that said nobody's bitch, he's basically been everybody's bitch.
Yeah, man.
Like, when Solo strikes first, he strikes Jimmy.
Yeah, man.
Roman knocks him out. Jay, hey, man, your ass be hurt or gone, fam. Like, I got to step up.
Yeah.
So, no. But, and Keith just said it. Roman gets the biggest baby face pops in the first cities. Mm-hmm. We ain't born dominance. Let me just say this now. It's already been top three to me. But the Bloodline storyline may be the greatest storyline I've ever seen now. It may have eclipsed Hulk Hogan Macho Man for me. Hmm. And I know somebody, Hulk Hogan Macho Man, fam, you have to understand that the two top niggas in the world at the time is now about to go up against each other in the world. The reason why the Bloodline storyline might get the nod number one in me, when did Roman ever go up against the other number one nigga?
Right.
It was against Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. And what happened in that match, Kemp?
He lost. he lost, and they didn't run it back.
So everybody Roman Reigns has been going against is not been number one, or they tried to make him number one, Cody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He ain't went against the top niggas. Yeah. And they all look stellar except for Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And that's the other one.
That was funny, though.
That was hilarious. But Roman Reigns has made everybody he's went up against look or feel like they was a number one person. Yeah. So, and I'm not saying that Jey Uso is not. But Jey Uso looks stronger and stronger and stronger every time he go back and forth with his cousin. Stronger and stronger and stronger.
Hey, B Dot, real quick. When he says Brock wasn't the top guy, let me frame it like this.
Go ahead, because he was not, but go ahead.
Let me frame it like this. When Brock Lesnar was beating him, yes. When Roman Reigns started beating Brock, no. And that was... And if you think about it, why does a Brock Lesnar just come into a Money in the Bank match to win it? Because they don't look at him as a top guy. Brock, and for all things considered personally for me, Brock Lesnar hasn't been a top guy since he left for the UFC. And what I mean by that is, yes, he comes back with notoriety and decoration, but he wasn't being used every week, every month, every year in a spot to elevate other guys. When he comes back, it's against John Cena. When he comes back, it's against like Triple H or Randy Orton, or they're trying to build up Seth Rollins. Let's give him Brock Lesnar. He was literally building up the attractions that we have today. So I totally get where you're going, but this everything post UFC run is not top guy Brock Lesnar. From
he's an attraction.
Yeah.
Brock is an attraction. He gets in, he gets out. He's an attraction. Mm-hmm. Top guy is what Seth is doing.
Yeah.
And what Roman is doing. And has been doing for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
That's top guy. There's top guys, there are attractions. Seth, attraction. Really, when you look at it, and this is just my opinion, it's only two top guys in the WWE right now. That's Seth and Roman.
Yeah.
Cody right there.
Yeah.
But Cody needs to get the belt to be a top guy to me.
Yeah. And to your point, the measuring stick to see if Cody was a top guy was the Dominic match. And that didn't end up a highlight of that night.
No.
Right. So it was literally a moment in time. You could argue on the top guy getting hot meter that LA Knight was leaps and bounds over him. But shoot, at this point, depending on the market, so is Sheamus.
Right.
And Cody can't have that deviation. Like, Granted, he gets the pop, but his matches aren't mid. So don't get me confused on that. But Cody hasn't put together the string of matches that are like, dang, this show definitely improved because Cody's out there. That hasn't happened yet.
I'll even go further saying this. There's one wrestler that needs the blade is Cody. I love, you won't find a podcast that hasn't expressed their love for Cody like First Black Champ has.
Yeah, for sure.
But Cody matches turn up when he bleeds. Cody matches turn up when he has like a injury or some shit.
Yeah.
Like when he has like a visible joint. When you see the whole thing with the chest, ooh, the arm, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, go look back at like some of his matches in AEW. Go look at the match with Brody, mm-hmm. the chain match. Oh, all that blood, mm-hmm. Blood and guts, blood and guts, blood and guts. Let's go look at matches without that. Pretty decent. That's good. It's cool. Like Cody's storyline, his matches are Cody's. Mm-hmm. His best matches are matches that really tell a story of will he make it out this bitch.
Right.
Cody Rhodes in 1987 would be the biggest nigga in the world. But this ain't 87.
Yeah.
This ain't the Hulk Hogan match going up against Macho Man or Andre the Giant or any of them niggas to where it's like, shit, is he gonna make it out of here? Mm-hmm. Oh, he did it. Yes. Oh, America. That's why I believe I'm gonna say it again. Mm-hmm. He needs to be Homelander at this point. Like, if you watch The Boys, he needs to be Homelander at this point. To me, Homelander Cody is better than this Cody because in the WWE, he can't do what he normally do to tell an accurate account of will this nigga make it in order for the match to be hella good.
Yeah.
Unless he's going up against a Seth Rollins or a Roman.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, all things considered, this Brock Lesnar story is a heat check. Like, if we're just keeping it real, like, this Brock Lesnar storyline with Cody Rhodes is a heat check because, again, we always talk about, like, you know, there hasn't been a lot of cuts or anything this year. Well, this summer, I should say. But, you know, every once in a while, we always throw up that, what are they going to do without him? He was so integral on TV. This girl was this and this girl was that, right? But now, here we fast forward to summer. Who saw the Brawling Brutes turn the corner and being a face trio that sometimes just getting over? They're getting over in predominantly white markets, right? But then you got who saw LA Knight being what he was going to be. But then at the same time, who saw Dominic and Damian Priest and Finn Balor at the same time being where they are?
Like you?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, this is a heat check for Cody because, yeah, we come out to the music. We pop for the music and the, oh, but the promos ain't quite hitting like they were. The matches have been okay. But we haven't seen Cody Rhodes at a premium live event where he's had moment, match, or segment that said, yo, this event was this event because Cody did that.
And you know what's crazy, Kip? I don't like this feud with Brock because Cody going with him.
Yeah, that's the other
thing. That's the, again, Cody is best when he's Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Back against the wall. You can't win.
Yeah.
That's the best Cody. The Cody, you can be fam. See, Keith.
Hey, not the Vince, EK. Hey, yo, man, you and Vince gotta talk it out. You and Vince gotta talk it out. Because I'm sure Keith feel like Vince.
Well, I don't. Because I'm the one who said as soon as he married Brandi Rhodes that he was gonna not be in the WWE for so long.
There you go.
And who's right? It's probably one of the best Bang Be Knowing moments ever.
Yeah, that was long before the hashtag too, ladies and gentlemen.
That's long before the hashtag, man. Like, it ain't gonna work. I'm just letting y'all know this now. You know, Cody gonna come back. Shit ain't gonna be right. And boy, was I right. But no, the best Cody is the Cody wears Rocky IV time. Like, there's no easy way out. He got to drive. He got to get in the Porsche and figure it out. That's the best Cody. This Cody right here that's going toe-to-toe with Brock? Nah, fam, no. Brock should be beating your ass right now, fam. That ain't happening. So I don't like this. Now, I can almost predict what Cody Rhodes' next feud going to be after SummerSlam. Bray Wyatt is going to come back. The light's going to go off.
And he's really? Gonna
fuck Cody ass up.
So you got Bray Wyatt returning. You got Bray Wyatt returning against Cody to effectively help him out, and not him being Cody, him being Bray Wyatt.
You gotta give Cody shit to do, so he's not fighting championships, fighting for championships. Like Cody Rhodes is Jake the Snake Roberts right now. He don't need a belt.
Yeah,
but eventually he gonna get one of these motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to put him in feuds to get him off. That's why Monday, when he came out, I was like, Brock's going to come out too. My thought, though, was, they about to triple threat this shit. Like I said, what was probably going to happen? Remember, last pod, I said, don't be surprised if it's Brock versus Cody versus Seth for the world championship. Because also you need to put, look, man, we got to put Seth in a match that make this world championship legit. The Finn belt, the Finn match wasn't it. Because Damian Priest came out with the Money in the Bank and kind of like fucked all that up.
Yeah.
He has to be in a match that makes this legit and he wins it. So when Cody came out, I was like, well, Brock gonna come out too. And it's going to be the three of them fighting. And then there we go. Well, that didn't happen. Those two got to beating each other up. And then, you know, Brock got the Cody cutter put on him. And then he got out the ring. And again, I don't like that shit. Not for Brock. No, be dominant until you accidentally lose or some shit. That being said, man, like to transition a bit, that did happen on Monday Night Raw. So it looks like we're going to get Cody and Brock 3. So if that's the case, who the fuck does Seth wrestle? Like Rhea Ripley?
Oh, man. Seth Rollins needs to take a real break and let the rest of Raw determine who's a true number one contender, or there has to be in the storyline. I again, y'all know, so I don't need to rehash it. I'm not for this fighting champion-ish. Damian Priest being Money in the Bank is obviously conveniently going to get sidetracked with Finn Balor. So he's not cashing in July or August, right? So to me, that opens the field for Seth Rollins to start acting like a champ, right? And when I say acting like a champ, just come out there, cut your promos, and now let's build a story. Let's build a story. The one thing that I can say that we can all say for Roman Reigns' title run is that 85% of his title matches have involved a real story. Like the few that weren't, we don't really remember. Like the one with Cesaro, the one with Matt Riddle, the one that might be it, to be honest with you. There's somebody else to throw in there, but I don't. Oh, Rey Mysterio, like that. You know what I'm saying? Like those kind of matches. It was like, eh, that's him just putting the title on TV against somebody that the internet said they want to see. But oh well, right? Oh wait, he had a match with Montez Ford too, right? Am I? Yeah, yeah. He didn't have a.
Yeah.
He had a match. It wasn't for the title, but he had a match with him, I believe. I don't remember. But saying it to say that. Saying it to say this, Raw has gotten a lot better as far as singles male competition goes, and now it's time for somebody to put themselves in position to really earn a story with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is giving out too many, oh, you good, G. He's giving out too many locker room, we straight passes. Now it's time for people to start earning the right to be in the same ring as Seth Rollins to even have a back and forth. So I personally don't want him to do nothing until the next pay-per-view. If I'm being real with y'all, he don't need to do nothing. Somebody else needs to step up. Another story has to develop, and we need to get the match at the premium live event and not before.
I mean, honestly, man, the only person that I feel like should be the opponent for Seth Rollins is Dominic Mysterio, or Dirty Dominic.
Dude, Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom.
Wilding now. Now we're getting on to something.
Yeah, Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Shouts out to Dirty Dick Slater. You know what I'm saying? Dirty Dick Murdoch. All of the Dirty Dicks and Doms out there. You know what I'm saying? But because of the match that happened on Raw on Monday, I was like, oh, they can't do this shit.
Yeah.
I don't want them to do Finn versus Damian Priest versus Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to do that. I don't want them to do Demon Finn, because Demon Finn is now the worst attraction. And that's their fault. Because every time now we see the demon and we like, oh, you're going to lose this shit.
Yeah. Well, once the demon lost to an act of God, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, well, yeah.
We see what we're doing here.
You know, once he lost to Roman, we was like, oh, man. He lost to Edge. Oh, man, yeah. So, yeah. What, he gonna beat Seth? No, man. So, I would rather see Roman versus Jay and Seth versus Dominic.
Mm.
Dominic, the whole thing. First of all, don't nobody get booed like Dominic gets booed. Like, His boos rival Baron Corbin's in Baron Corbin's day.
Yeah, for sure.
It might be worse than Baron Corbin's. Like, they don't let him talk. So I would rather see like Dirty Dom drop his nuts and really be like, nah, fam, I'm tired of y'all trying to sun me, fam. And then plus with, you know, Rhea Ripley on his side. Like, Rhea Ripley ain't got nobody to wrestle on fucking Raw.
Right
now. So, yeah, the added insurance policy of Rhea Ripley there. And then plus his first match was at SummerSlam against Seth. We got the storyline, fam. I just don't want to see no triple threat with Damian Priest and Finn Balor. Nah, make a trade or some shit. Somebody tell Bobby to come over here, fam. Some shit. But that we need, yeah, we need to fix that. What else? Oh yeah. Are we soon to see a heel turn when it comes to Bianca Belair?
Or am I tweaking?
Because she beating the shit out of these two women, Asuka and Charlotte. Like, she's really beating their ass, man.
Hey, I hope so. Because that is maybe that's what SmackDown is missing. Because all of the every woman is technically a face on SmackDown right now. But they don't be holding it down. Like, Shotzi is obviously a face, but she be getting beat up before matches even start. you know. Liv and Raquel are obviously faces. Asuka's always in between, but she's definitely supposed to be a face right now, but the crowd has now decided they like Charlotte Flair, so now she sees a face. Somebody does have to switch the energy. And who better than Bianca Belair? Well, a person who I actually like, when she was, I guess, considered a heel in NXT, that was some of my favorite work from her. Not saying that she hasn't done great since she's been on the main roster, but I think Bianca Belair as a heel, especially now that she's just more developed, I think that it could be a sign of something really good that's about to happen here, personally.
Now, moving on real quick from that shit, though, one thing that I think that cannot be understated is that I know we've been talking about LA Knight and everything that's been going on with him. Hell, we even said that LA Knight should just be the U.S. champion. Like, it should be the anything can happen in the WWF type of situation where they was at a house show in goddamn Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and LA Knight became the United States champion. But hold on, not so fast, my friend. One thing that we didn't really talk about was how Grayson Waller got the rub of a lifetime with John Cena. Pause. But then also, then you come to SmackDown and he gets another one with having his in-ring debut against Edge. And then Edge basically telling him, good job, homie, by saying you swam at the end of the match. So why is Austin Theory still the United States champion?
Yeah. And depending on Pretty Deadly to keep it. Hey, listen, man. This ain't internet fodder. Just watch the show. They put Austin Theory and his title up against Sheamus and had Pretty Deadly come out. And that still wouldn't worth talking about versus Edge and Grayson Waller having a segment and then a match at the same time with Edge highlighting what he just did. He putting the word out. Edge has put the word out. Yo, somebody back there obviously loves you, right? And you're on the main roster. You ain't had a match yet. So why not have your match against me? And the thing is, I look at this in layers because you're right, Bang. It is something like he's had a hell of a week in wrestling. You know,
he might have had the best week.
Yes. But let's take it a step further. So he has the moment with John Cena. Goes over really well with the crowd in all aspects.
He attacks John Cena.
Yes.
He got offense.
Yeah. So have that moment with John Cena. We fast forward Edge on SmackDown. Segment, then the match. And then he loses the match, but he gets told he swam. I don't know where y'all been at the last 20 years. But the two of the guys specifically that helped build that SmackDown brand were John Cena and Edge. And basically what he did, Grayson Waller, that is, he's had both of their moments combined within a month, within a week, and he still got the second half of the year to go. So I look at that, and all I see is, oh, wow. They thought they had this. Again, they thought they had this with Austin Theory. But this kid is getting it done, and he's yet to really show up. And I don't mean show up like he got to turn it up a notch. It's like they don't know what he can really do yet. They being the crowd, oh, we got something here. They already believe. And he ain't done nothing but sit and talk. Now the match happened. Really good match. For the first time out with Edge, a guy who helped build SmackDown. To me, Bang, if he don't have a next, if he don't have a title shot at the next PLE, I'll be oddly surprised.
Look, man, I'm waiting for this to happen right here. I'm waiting now for Pretty Deadly to turn against Austin Theory. And then Austin Theory losing the belt to Grayson Waller. Because, hey, Grayson Waller then was kicking it. They was kicking it at the Grayson Waller effect, him and Pretty Deadly. They was kicking it. They was having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what else? From there, then we could have LA Knight versus Grayson Waller.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably the feud we want to see now. We don't give a damn about Austin Theory.
Yeah.
Now, is Austin Theory that low on the list? No, he's not that low on the list. What I'm telling y'all is, no, hear me out. He's not that low. He's not Riddick Moss.
Oh, yeah, no. No, he's not that low. No, I would never be that disrespectful.
Yeah, no. He's somebody that could be in title shots and be a multi-time United States champion.
Yeah, but he just somebody got to be 11, though, on your list, though.
There you go. There you go. That's the other part about this. The other part about this is simple. Hey, it's time for him to lose that belt. That's what it needs. It's time for him to lose that belt. It's time to give it to somebody that's going to make that belt pop.
Yeah,
right now, those two are Grayson Waller and LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, LA Knight we might need a transitional champion here. So Grayson Waller could be that person.
Yeah.
He could be that person. But he don't need that belt no more.
Yeah. No, he definitely doesn't need it anymore. You know, he can keep his youngest, you know, champ ever stat, and that's cool. But let me say it like this. Defining the roles of LA Knight and Grayson Waller, I think, have to happen with that feud. And no matter what, one of them has to beat Austin Theory for the U.S. title. At this point, you can take your pick, because I think you equally get the payoff you want, need, or deserve with it. My worry, though, is no matter who beats Austin Theory, what does that leave for him, though? Because do you make him a face? Like, is that even possible? Does he stay a heel? Can he become a super heel? Like, you know, Riddick Moss is actually a great example, because I thought the Madcap Moss gimmick was trash until they took it off of him and he had nothing else to do besides wrestle.
Yeah, and be with Emma.
Yeah, and then that became a mistake. I was like, you know what? Hey, I should have just accepted this as being like a swole hybrid alternative to Doink the Clown versus saying, oh, take the dumb suspenders and the boat shoes off with the chino shorts and wrestle. Gimmicks matter for a lot of guys. And that actually hurt. That actually hurt him way more than any match he's lost or won in the past few months. Yeah. I worry that same thing about Austin Theory, because Austin Theory, for the most part, doesn't have a gimmick the older he gets. Like, he's going to turn 26 and he can't say anything.
But
like, that's it. Like, his birthday is coming up. So once he's 26, he ain't the youngest to do nothing no more. So it literally don't matter. So now Pretty Deadly is like just propping them up. They're keeping them afloat. But he has to figure something else out, because now they're not even giving him mic time and he has a belt. Yeah, hey, A-Town is definitely down. But Grayson Waller, LA Knight, that should be our U.S. champion before summer ends. One of those two now. It don't even matter now.
Yeah, man, before we get out of here, something we didn't talk about last week. Well, we didn't get into too much detail, but damn, I definitely loved the promo that came across. Ronda Rousey wanted some answers from a friend. Why, a friend whooped her ass. A friend gave her answers.
Yeah, man.
Fred was basically like, bitch, I really do this. Mm-hmm. You fell into it. And I didn't have to follow behind you, bitch. So now I'm going to whoop your ass because of it. I'm going to take out all that frustration I had. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take it out on you. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on what's probably the final storyline of Ronda Rousey, the wrestler, in the WWE? Yeah.
This will be one of the hardest sells we've ever seen in wrestling history. And I say it for two reasons. One, because we kind of came in the door not wanting to cheer for Ronda Rousey when she said she wanted to actually be a wrestler. And two, Shayna Baszler has never been that girl that people have just cheered for. Her having the discussion with, having the promo and saying what she said against Ronda Rousey was probably the biggest individual pop she's ever gotten for just talking, but probably in the segment ever. But what I equate that to, Bang, is if you happen to be on Twitter or on TikTok or on Instagram or wherever, and you just happen to see two white girls arguing outside of a bar or at the park or in the supermarket, wherever, and you think, oh, these white hoes tripping. And then you just swipe and you just keep going. Yeah. And that's what this feud is to me. We don't care enough about either one of them to even see them go against each other. That's what makes Money in the Bank a wash. All of this doesn't make any sense. It was a very quick turn. It had no true build. They don't even have a montage of the moments where Shayna Baszler is going to be looking crazy at Ronda Rousey as her ego goes out of control. They don't even have that. So this is the epitome of doing it wrong. And if they ended on Superstars, they'll get the same reaction as if they ended it at SummerSlam.
So I agree with you with everything that you said. I think the only difference is we don't need a background because it's I hate Ronda Rousey time. And anybody that hates her, you don't need too much ammunition. Like she ain't gotta do shit. Cause if you look at the match again, fam, there was nothing that Ronda Rousey did to make you go, damn, what led up to this?
Right.
You just was like, yeah. Yeah. And then when Ronda comes out with no facial expression to ask for an explanation on why something may have happened, Shayna comes out and she gets the biggest cheer she ever got.
Yep.
They invested, but they invested in one thing and one thing only. This would be the greatest feud ever for people who hate Ronda Rousey if Ronda Rousey don't get no offense.
Right. Yeah.
This should just be a squash. Or, hey, bitch, I've really been better than you this whole damn time. And like what you saw on Monday. Hmm. What you saw on Monday was Ronda Rousey doing whatever she could to get answers and then her friend whooping her ass. Yeah. She got a little bit of offense in, mm-hmm. but then her friend kneed her ass in the head. Mm-hmm. And she ended up like this.
Yeah.
But the reason why people hate Ronda Rousey is because when she ended up like this, about 2 seconds later, she got back up. So I'm about to say, why? Exactly. Why? And I was like, bitch, sell.
Thank you. She didn't even give that crowd a chance to be like, damn, I kind of feel bad for Ronda.
She was like, oh. Why? Why, Shannon, get back here? Bitch, you're supposed to be knocked out.
Yeah.
Be knocked out. Yo.
Like, yo, will somebody please have her go talk to Shawn Michaels? Like, please. Like, unfortunately, some of the other greatest sellers are gone. Unfortunately, she can't call Mr. Perfect. She can't call Rick Rude. She can't, like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, even Dolph Ziggler. Have Dolph Ziggler talk to her.
Fam, I was just like, yo, stay down.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Oh.
Yeah, man.
That's exactly what I thought when I saw that. Like, she didn't even stay down enough to even be like, yo, look what happened.
Right. Yeah. Hey, they're so, it was like, and you know, I think that is the unsung story of all of us in the wrestling community, our issue with Ronda Rousey, is that if you truly were a fan of Rowdy Roddy Piper the way you said you were, and you were truly a fan of wrestling, then how are you behaving this way when they give you this big of a spot in a row? Like, how? Like, if you're just a casual fan, just say that. And you're like, oh, hey, Hot Rod, I'm Rowdy Ronda. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because we know people that do that. Like, everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is in the 80s and 90s, but not everybody really watched wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are, she doesn't even strike me as a casual fan at this point, Bang, because we let people be green and we understand that. But the one thing that everybody seems to know how to do well, even with being green, is selling. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've watched celebrities, athletes, actors, children, everybody knows how to sell. But why does Ronda Rousey literally not know how to sell? I'll never understand it. And yet they give her so much TV time. They give her so much TV time. And I'm not, and the thing is, she can't sell a promo as a heel. She can't sell a promo. Whoa. She can't sell a promo as a face. She can't sell a match with emotion. She don't sell a finisher. Like, yo, sorry. This just is bad. This is bad. That's all I got.
Now, the good thing is that they've said that Ronda Rousey has stated that she wanted her final feud to be with Shayna Baszler. So if this is where we're at, we've come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because the wildest shit about this is that Ronda has been in the ring more times than any celebrity wrestler, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably not top 10.
No. She's nowhere near it.
So, let's see if ChatGTP.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's see what ChatGTP says.
I mean, man, Vince should have worked something out with Maria Menounos to get the exact same Ronda Rousey run, and I guarantee you he generated more profit.
And I'm sure that ChatGTP will get this wrong like they did everything else last week. Celebrity WWE wrestler.
Jumping towards the animal steel, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, let's see. These motherfuckers. See, they did it again. They did it again, Kev. God damn, ChatGTP. All right. The greatest celebrity WWE wrestlers of all time. Number 5, Floyd Mayweather.
Really?
Number 4, Mike Tyson. Number 3, Mr. T. Number 2, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
And number 1, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
All right, man. So, yeah, I knew I knew the list was wrong, right? But I didn't know that it was just going to go just completely off the rails and count the second part of two wrestlers' career first. Like, that's almost like saying when you Google Stone Cold Steve Austin that the episode of Walker, Texas Ranger gonna come up first.
Man.
Like, what?
Oh man, if this is the shit that's supposed to take over the world, we're in trouble.
Yeah, man.
That means we're dumb.
Yeah, man. Talk to people that were there, man. Still, you know what? This is why I'm not worried about AI. Because at the end of the day, some stuff I was just there for. So you ain't gonna be able to tell me different. I'm going through that with my daughter right now. She's 12, she's about to be 13. And she's trying to tell me stuff that she knows. And I was like, Layla, what you're not understanding is I was twice your age when that happened. Trust me, didn't go like that. it's like, you gotta listen to me on this one. Listen, I get it. You're on the internet now. You're figuring things out. Like, but you can't believe everything that's on these channels and on these feeds. It's like, because I was just there.
Yeah.
Like, I was there, Punkin', and that's what you need to understand. So.
Yeah, because I went to chat GTP, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, let me try this again.
Send off soldiers.
I'm going to try this again. Just to be sure. Wrestlers.
Hey, what I'm definitely going to start doing is I'm going to start just putting stuff in chat GBT and GPT and be like, hey, this is the greatest singer of all time. Like, hey, did you know that this person is the number one this or that?
Oh, this one gets a little bit worse, fam. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Shout to Mandy Rose, though.
There's a rumor she might be coming back. All right. Rumor. The top 10. Coming in at number 10 of celebrity wrestlers of all time in the WWE.
Mm.
ChatGPT says Bob Uecker is at number 10. Number 9, Donald Trump. Number 8, Drew Carey. Number 7, Shaquille O'Neal. Number 6, Lawrence Taylor. Number 5, Floyd Mayweather. Number 4, Mr. T. Number 3, Cyndi Lauper. Number 2, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Number 1, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
You know, the only one they might have got right in that list is Cyndi Lauper. That might be the only one they got right. And she's not top 5 anymore, unfortunately. Mm. When she got hit with the plaque, that was one of the first best sells of a celebrity ever.
Yeah.
Man, you know, no Andy Kaufman, no list. No Bad Bunny, no list. hey, you know what? I'd be inclined to throw Hugh Jackman in there and a little, maybe. Not mad at Lawrence Taylor, because again, hey, he main evented the PLE. So, and they cut mad promos for that too. But yeah, man, listen, man, use your discernment. You were there for some things. You got the WWE Network. Just watch, bro.
Yeah.
Just watch. Just continue to watch wrestling. The one thing that the First Black Champ podcast has vehemently told y'all to do, we have made it imperative that you do, is just watch wrestling. That's how you really know what's going on. That's how you don't let people just tell you anything. Like George the Animal still is black. and that Stone Cold Steve Austin is the number two celebrity wrestler of all time. Hey, what more do you want from us, man?
Hey, what man. More? Any guarantees, Kent?
Yes. My guarantee this week is to watch the evolution of Judgment Day. Because they're all definitely about to branch off and do their own thing. Finn, I think everything about Money in the Bank to Monday Night Raw was very telling. Finn is obviously on another mission. I still do believe that he is going to develop a new Judgment Day because he'll be the last one left. Rhea and Dom, for better or worse, are a really great tandem. They're the ultimate heat check for each other because we want to love Rhea Ripley and we want to hate Dom. And everybody knows the story of the super cold chick that you don't understand why she with the lame ass dude. And it's one of the greatest stories that we never really tell in wrestling enough, especially this way. You know, this is, I mean, hey, look, he's really taking on this Eddie should be my son thing, but Eddie look way cooler chasing China than Dom does falling up behind Rhea Ripley, but it's still making for great TV when it needs to. Obviously, Damian Priest is having his own main event Jay moments, and now that he's Money in the Bank, he's trying to make it clear he doesn't need anybody. And once he cashes in, and he's going to cash in on a world champion, that's going to put him literally leaps and bounds above anything Judgment Day. No need for him to be around much longer. So that's really my guarantee. Just watch what the people in Judgment Day become. Because Judgment Day, as we know it, is over. Third and fourth quarter will all be dedicated to the transition of them. And hey, you know what? I just hope that they all remain successful, even if two of them end up on SmackDown.
Man, woo! My guarantee. My guarantee is that we're not gonna like Seth Rollins' opponent at SummerSlam. I don't think we're gonna like that opponent, fam, for the WWE World Television Championship.
Word.
Until somebody tells me differently, fam, it is the WWE World Television Championship.
Yeah, man.
So go ahead and get ready. All right, because y'all not gonna like it. With that being said, before we get out of here, I wanna say shouts out to Don Marie. Anarchy Rules just popped up on my TV. And Don Marie is a very underrated woman in wrestling. Like, we don't talk about Don Marie, how fine to me, you know, how fine she was in her ECW days. Now, I don't know if she's come to all of the drugs and stuff that everybody else did, but, you know, I just don't remember seeing her after she left WWE. But looking at Anarchy Rules, and she has on this white, and she looks nice, and I like that. So shouts out to her. Shouts out to the Creed brothers, because they looks like they're going to be called up to the WWE real soon. They lost to the Dyad on NXT in a Loser Leaves NXT matchup. The Creed brothers is a tag team that I'm very high on. They're like the Steiner brothers meets Steve Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordon. It's like they have on the singlets and shit and the doublets or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But these cats are reckless in the ring. They remind me of like when them two wrestled, like how stiff these matches paws could be. And also, man, shouts out to you, Kemp. You've been right a lot when it comes to these goddamn wrestlers, and you was right about LA Knight.
Yeah.
That's number one. You came in and you was like, nigga, that's Eli Drake. He's going to be a main event. You said that as soon as he popped up on NXT. So let me just say this. When he popped up on NXT, Kemp said, I don't know who LA Knight is, but I know who Eli Drake is. And I seen him in NWA. And I think he was in Impact, but I saw him on NWA when I was watching it. He's going to be a main eventer in the WWE. Yeah. And look where we at now. Y'all mad because he didn't get the money in the bank.
Man. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Listen. Hey, listen. I'm still, it's not his fault, but I think in that same week or same month, Eli Drake, Ricky Stark. Like, that's who I was like, yo, these guys don't need to be here, and I'm not disrespecting NWA power. But hey.
But there you go.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
So, hey, man, got to give the flowers. So, and shouts out to GTP, ChatGPT, for getting it wrong again. End us off, Kev.
Yeah, for sure. Man, thank y'all. Sincerely, thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. And every episode, obviously, I like to turn the heat up a notch. Make sure you get your volume correct. Make sure the proper people are in or out the room sometimes for some of these segments. But hey, man, it's all for the sake of quality entertainment. So no matter what we talk about, whether it is my random adult entertainment choices or who are the top 10 celebrity wrestlers of all time via ChatGPT, we want you to enjoy the segments, all right? Obviously, Bang and I could do this show and keep this thing going without all of you, but all of you in the stream with the comments, the likes, the shares, you make this community what it is, and for that, we thank you. So, as always, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Pick VPBDOC, and we are out. Like Johnny Wrestling.
Damn. We ain't seen this nigga.
It's that flat green thing. Bye, Fievel.